with NBC News. General Haig, you say you're going to go after all the terrorists. All the terrorists who have attacked us in the past, all the ones that have attacked Israel in the past, have attacked all the other countries of the world. How do you narrow this down?
Well, look, first...
Oh, just not, Arab terrorists, by the way. That's what we're talking about. We're not going after the IRA, are we?
Yeah, first thing, Chris, let's not equate Israel and the United States in this. It's the United States who was attacked. We are the prime enemy of these groups, and they're out to destroy our system. And that means our European friends are equally involved, because if they got rid of us, they'd be after them, just as they'll be after these so-called moderate Arab states, who will be the first to go if they succeed. So what we're dealing with here is a global problem that's going to require a multifaceted global approach and solutions. And that includes very extensive military. But let me tell you, it's not going to be a cruise missile job. It's not going to be an airstrike. Yeah. And we've learned, if we've learned anything in Bosnia and Kosovo and elsewhere, they are not the decisive solutions to these problems. The man on the ground who digs out that fellow and gets him is the fellow that's going to do it ultimately. So
you're going to have to send in SEAL units? I mean, who are you going to send in to do this kind of job? We have to go in and go in and kill guys, slit their throats.
Well, no, we're going to have to go in. We may have to go in with airborne troops, with Marines who are all mobile. It could be a number of things. But you're just not going to get rid of this problem by taking one facet of it out. It'll be back.
Let's just try to narrow this down, Senator Hagel. We've been victim to Arab terrorism for years now. The West Berlin nightclub, where two of our service people were killed on purpose. The Lockerbie, 103, the Pan Am 103. The World Trade Tower, the first time, 93. This horrible one, which outblows them all away in terms of human disaster. Are those the kinds? Are those the list of terrorist attacks we're going to get even for and eradicate the people who did them? Or are we going to go beyond that and say people we even think might be thinking about doing it?
This cannot be seen as a get-even project. What this is about, and General Haig again is right, is bringing together an international coalition of the civilized world to drive a stake through the heart of terrorism. That's what this is about. Not ricocheting from crisis to crisis, not getting even, but a massive blow, a massive force, and it will be a long time. And don't believe that this is going to be over in a month or 2 months. That's the kind of commitment that must be made in the leadership by the United States and the civilized world to deal with this. That's how big it is, Chris.
Well, let me go through the countries. We know that Libya has supported terrorism. We know that Syria supported terrorism. We certainly know Iraq has, right? Are we going to war with those countries? Because the French always have a little tiptoe deal with those people, too. You know, we always have European allies who are pretty good allies, but they always like to get along with the Arab states. And some of these Arab states are terrorist-supporting states. And they, how do you get the coalition to work against Syria, against Libya, against Gaddafi? How do you work against that coalition?
Chris, nations like individuals will always respond in their own self-interest. Yeah. This could happen just as easily in Paris, in Bonn, in Berlin, in London. And what must occur here, just as the president said in his speech the other night, and by the way, I thought he did it exactly right, said it exactly right, those nations are culpable who have housed these terrorists in any way, sponsored them, whether directly or indirectly. And what has to happen here in our initial response must be so massive and so punishing that it will send a message. It will shake the world about how serious the civilized world is.
You start dropping ordnance on villages, compounds, tent cities. You kill a lot of people, kids and old people and non-combatants. The entire world comes out against you. How do you avoid doing that?
Well, that's not what we're going to do, Chris.
Okay, you go in an Entebbe-style raid or a Desert One type of situation. You expose your personnel to tremendous risk. They could be surrounded, tortured on national, international television like we saw in Somalia. It's not so easy. Jimmy Carter tried to go in and rescue those hostages. We had the helicopter accidents. The C-5As had the helicopters. You're laughing, but it was horrendous. How do we avoid those kind of situations?
Horrendously muffed. Horrendously badly done. Listen, I was figuratively in command of that. I didn't know it was happening in my own command.
Right.
And it was a disaster the way it was done. The helicopters were in bad shape. The people weren't properly trained. Their tactics were sick. And I tell you, somebody should have gone to jail for that one.
Right. But that was where we lost a lot of our guys.
Of course. And any time you do anything wrong, you're going to lose people. That's why we can't be impatient and demanding action now, action now. I hear some of these pundits. It's a nauseating thing to think these people think there's a 24-hour solution to this problem. It's been 10 years in the making. and we've ignored it for 10 years. Leadership that was afraid to confront the reality of what we were
Let's go back to my favorite saw here. The FBI has been excellent in the last 48 hours. They've got the names and pictures of these guys. It's like they've been wanted posters. They went down to the post office and found their pictures. They knew them. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. How come they didn't know him 2 hours before this happened? How come they didn't know this guy was on the watch list? How come these guys are taking flying lessons? For what? They're going to become commercial pilots? I mean, you think they're regular guys? These guys are terrorists.
Well, I think we have to understand this is a large universe of dynamics that has been responsible for getting us here.
How many suspects do we have on the bin Laden list, for example? Well, how long could it be?
Well, I don't know that, but they're working on it. They will get the facts, and we will know.
Why didn't we do it
respond.
Beforehand? Doesn't it bother you as a senator that we are so quick at coming out with the usual suspects when it's too late?
Well, let's back up for a minute here. Al Haig said something that's very important. This just didn't happen. This is the result on Tuesday of a lot of essentially looking the other way and dismantling our human intelligence over the last 25 years and our military. Well, lack of courageous leadership, deferring the tough decisions. We do it all the time in this country. And that has, together, and allowing a lot of these things to be dismissed. Don Young talked about them earlier in the show. Accumulation of those factors have led us to this point. Now, we must unwind that, find out what happened and why, and all the things are going to go into this. This is the point that we're trying to make here, Chris. This isn't going to be done overnight, tomorrow, next week. This is a long term. Yeah. This is intelligence. It's courageous leadership. It's coalition
building. Those are the
right
thoughts.
It's all the things.
But it comes to execution. What would stop one of these characters from doing exactly what they did on Tuesday, next Tuesday? I still haven't heard anybody tell me why a guy can't get on a plane. I don't care where he's from, the United Arab Emirates. He's carrying a driver's license, international driver's license. He hitchhiked across the Canadian border. He gets on a plane in Logan. Nobody's going to stop him right now, by the way. If there's a flight tonight, he's on it. Nobody's going to stop him. And he's going to have his little penknife or his little carton opener or his Swiss Army knife. And he does the same exact thing over again. What's to stop people from doing this? I still don't get it. We're open. We're open to attack. Aren't we?
Chris, you talked the bottle half empty. I'd like to talk it half full.
Okay.
We have a very competent team now working. And I'm impressed with our new Attorney General.
We lost 5,000 people on their watch.
And within 48 hours, they have already got the leads that you and I had hoped they would have.
Right.
And they ought to be complimented for that and not criticized. And we shouldn't be undercutting the faith and confidence of the American people in their government, who they just put in office.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be so kind if this was a Democratic crowd running the country right now?
You bet I would, and I have.
And do you believe that an FBI that lets this happen in a country is doing its job?
Well, now, don't talk to the FBI. These are dedicated men. Talk to the people who fund them, who set the policies, the restrictions, the interlocking committees on the Hill. Mm-hmm. My God, if you're in the CIA today, you spend 90% of your time testifying before the various committees. We have got to sort this zoo out up on the legislature. And I thank God we've got a man up there that is dedicated to that kind
of thing. And it's a speech. The presidential candidate last time around, George W. Bush, made a point of saying he was against any kind of profiling of Arab people getting on airplanes, had Middle Eastern features or whatever. Mm-hmm. He made a big deal. He was going to do that. And that probably got him a few votes. And I cheered him at the time. I said, that's great. But is there a little bit of a chilling factor here among our agents not to bother a guy because he may have an accent or have a certain look or certain kind of passport or driver's license? Is there a little bit of, oh, we're going to ask him about that. That's kind of offensive. Well, is there some of that going on?
Well, Chris, let's realize what we are.
These guys got on a plane the same day, by the way.
Let's realize, first of all, who we are and what we are for over 200 years. We're a nation of laws that respects life and we respect individuals.
Right.
We have laws, privacy. We're an open society, the most open society in the history of mankind.
Right.
That invites this kind of terrorism. That's a reality. Now, that's number one. Number two, then how do we address what happened on Tuesday to ensure as best we can, not 100%, none will ever be 100%, that doesn't happen again. Balance between the civil liberties and rights in this
country
and security.
But when you know that all the trouble comes from one little part of the world, why don't you keep an eye on these
people? Well, we're going to have to do better and more.
You know, this civil liberties answer is not going to work with a couple more of these disasters.
Nope.
By the way, 5,000 people are dead because we're big liberals, okay? Anyway, Chuck Hagel, Senator from Nebraska, Alexander Haig, he's had every job in the world. Let's hear